Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, if you've ever felt overwhelmed by the big picture, by the pressure to have it all figured out, this episode might just reset the way you think about success. Because what if the secret isn't some massive breakthrough, but something much smaller, much more immediate? Today, I'm talking with Joshua Lifrak. He is author of Win Today, 6 Steps to Mental Resilience, Peak Performance, and a Thriving Life. Joshua has worked with elite athletes from MLB and NFL prospects to the Chicago Cubs during their historic 2016 World Series run. And what he's learned might surprise you. It's not about chasing distant goals. It's about mastering the moment right in front of you. As he puts it, winning streaks don't start with a grand plan. They start with a single victory today. So how do you train your mind to consistently show up, perform, and thrive? Not someday, but right now. Let's find out. Win Today, 6 Steps to Mental Resilience, Peak Performance, and a Thriving Life is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, and all the usual places. And for everything about Joshua, go to Joshua Lifrak. That's L-I-F-R-A-K, L-I-F-R-A-K, joshualifrak.com, and follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ira. Pleasure to be here. I just want to reach through the screen and grab one of the bagels.
Yes, everybody always wants to do that. But you got to stay
a little Lakshmi on that. Let's go next level.
You got to stay on your diet. Come on, Joshua. Let's stay disciplined here.
That's why I run.
There's one thing that I pulled from your book that just stayed with me personally. So I have a feeling it will hit other people as well. And it's something that you talk about. And I alluded to it in the opening, which is if you can focus on if you can focus on the little victory or the thing in front of you and accomplish that, and you keep doing that, that really does lay the groundwork for more broader success, if you will. And I'll let you expand on that. But I know there's much more in the book, but that's the one thing that spoke to me, that if you can resolve something right in front of you, succeed at what you're doing, accomplish what you're doing, that's right there, right today, then you've succeeded.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know what's interesting? I was coming from the world of sports, 20 years in professional sports. There's this thing that, I heard this quote years ago, and it was Albert Einstein. And the quote was, there are things that you can't count that count. And there are things that you count that do not count. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that you can't count that really counts is something called momentum. And it's a feeling, it's a vibe, it's an energy, it's this kind of like wave that rolls over. And you know, I think momentum and winning streaks and all that all starts with, like you just said in the introduction, just one win. So the reason I wrote this book was because I wanted to remind people, like, let's just win today. Let's start here right now. I talk about it in the book, but like, I kind of came up with this concept during COVID. I was working for the New York Mets at that point. And the director, we were all home. We'd all taken 20% pay cuts. And, you know, we didn't even know if there was a season going to happen. It was like, you remember, it was like just a complete upside down world. And it was like, how am I going to get, like, I don't even know what Thursday's going to be. So why do I even, like, what am I trying to do? Like, I just need to get through today. And I just have to find a way to just win right here, right now. So that's really where the concept of win today became really came to my mind. And so what I ended up doing was presenting to the entire Mets organization. And, you know, we had this great discussion about what it takes to win today. And really, that's what I outline. The things that I outline in the book, the 6 different steps, are really from my whole history of being in the world of professional sports and the things I've learned from the athletes and the coaches and the, you know, just being in that environment. But it all kind of came to fruition during that period.
Well, what's amazing to me, though, too, is that there are so many what I would call self-help books on the market. There have been for more decades than I've been alive, it seems. And every year there's a new concept. This one is a very simple approach. And I'm not plugging your book per se. I'm just saying that the concept is very simple, but makes a lot of sense from the world of psychology as well. If you can have a victory that's right in front of you, winning today, whatever that is, you make a dish at home and it's perfect. or you read a book and you actually got through it instead of falling asleep halfway through it, usually happens to me, or you fix a relationship, whatever it is, if you can accomplish that, that's it. That's the thing that's in front of you right then and there. And then it builds from there.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I talk about in the book is like, you know, accomplishment is the result. This is the six steps are the process. And you know, like we used to have a phrase in Chicago when I was there with the Cubs, and it was coined by Joe Maddon, the process is fearless, right? And so these six steps are all about, hey, you do these six things, that's your process to accomplishment and success in the day from the mental side. You know, you attend to the mental side, you train the mental side. It doesn't guarantee success, but it certainly buys you a lot more lottery tickets than the other guy, right? One of the things that I've noticed over the years is, especially in the world of high stakes athletics, is the athletes that are the best, the Kobe Bryants, the John Lesters, the Kyle Schwarbers, the ones that are the elites, that are the all-stars, the Hall of Famers. These guys lean into the mental side. They don't run away from it. They understand you don't have to be sick to get better. And the way they look at the mental game is they look at it as a competitive advantage. And, these are just six simple steps you can do every day, right? Do simple better instead of doing complex worse, right? So do simple better. You do these six steps and you got a good chance of winning today.
Give us a sense of, you don't have to go through all six steps, but just to give our viewers and listeners a sense of something that they can apply right away in their own lives.
Yeah, the easiest step to do, it takes literally about 10 seconds to do, and you can do it every day. It's just a matter of remembering it to do is the first step, and it's define your story. Another way to frame that is basically setting your intention and deciding who you want to be in the day, not what you want to accomplish, right? That like I do this exercise all the time in front of large audiences, whether it be, 10,000 people at McDonald's or 50 people at a leadership retreat for Johnson & Johnson. It's, this thing of setting your intention. And people always go, okay, well, I got to get this done. I'm going to get this done. No. Those are your goals. Right. I got you. Right. And goals are important and we need to know what those are, but the intention is how you're going to get those goals. Who do you have to be to achieve A, B, and C? I have to be focused. I have to be engaged. I have to be energized. I have to be excited. I have to be curious. But you deciding that and choosing who you're going to be in the world, that's the first step to winning, right? Because now you're starting to live a life by design versus a life by default.
No, that's a good approach. What happens if you're a little neurotic like I am and you change from day to day or hour by hour in terms of what your intention is? Because I have really good intentions about not overeating. And then, of course, there's a piece of chocolate cake right over there at the table and I will change my approach, so to speak.
Yeah, well, your intention was a negative intention and that's a challenge, right? Yeah. So it's like if your brain doesn't know the difference between do and don't. So don't eat that chocolate. What are you thinking about right now? That piece of chocolate.
Yes.
Right. So I am going to eat healthy. If I say that, I'm going to be healthy today. I'm going to be disciplined today. Right. Those are activities that you can do. It's really tough to don't something. As a matter of fact, when I was at IMG Academy, that was the first place I got into sports. It's this youth training facility down here in Florida, often called the Hogwarts of youth sports. It's like it's this giant school where everybody's just playing a game. I'm sure they're going to have Quidditch there sooner or later. I have no clue when, but I'm sure they'll add it as a sport. One of the things I used to talk about back then, there was this ad on TV, and it was a soda ad, and it was all like action sports and everything, and the tagline was "Do the do." And that's the way I want people to think about this intention. What are you gonna be that allow you to do, right? And so it's a lot different than don'ting. So don't eat the chocolate. That's a don't. Be healthy. Be disciplined. Those are do's.
Mm. So it's in essence something that's been tried and true over the decades. The power of positive thinking.
Well, yeah. You know what? Yes, and I'm gonna yes and you on that.
Oh, that's all right. Or yes.
So what we know is that
that positive thinking can work sometimes. Now, there are other times where there's a little bit of what we call toxic positivity, where the reality of the situation is not being attended to. And you can be as positive as you want to be, but if you don't have the actions to back up that positivity, you're not going to go in it. So I could sit here all day, Ira, and you and I could talk, and I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to make $1 million. And if I don't do anything to make that happen, it's not going to happen. It's not just going to magically fall into my lap. So that's where positivity can be a little bit toxic, where it may, hey, I don't, you know, I don't want to, I don't need to do anything because I'm believing it's going to happen. No, you need to have the behaviors and the actions. Mm-hmm. I learned this really clearly. We had an opportunity to spend some time with the Navy SEALs out in Coronado. And it was really interesting. These are, you know, the elite of the elite in terms of the military and the warriors that we have out in the world. And what they told me was really interesting. They said there are two major psychological traits that the ones who go through the training to become SEALs and are successful SEALs have, right? And those two traits are, number one, they have a high level of confidence. Optimism makes sense. On the flip side, they also have a high level of anxiety, which can be construed as negativity, right? And so I was like, that doesn't really make sense. And they said, it does make sense because these guys, they think they're the best, but they also think somebody out there is getting better than them. So it spurs their motivation. It makes them train harder. And I love that. And that's a great example of the difference between being positive and negative and then getting into the space of neutrality, which I outline in Stop the Storm, which is one of the chapters that we talk about, Stopping the Storm. That's one of the steps.
That's managing the negative thoughts.
Yeah, exactly right. And what neutral is just, you know, at Limitless Minds, the company I work with, to when we do a lot of speaking engagements with pharmaceuticals, we coin neutral thinking as, you know, it's dealing with the concrete and objective facts without judging or grading. It's just taking what's so, here it is. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just where it is. But if I want to go from A to B and that's not helping me get there, then I got to change direction or I have to choose different steps. And then it's about taking that next right step.
Can this be applied also to people who, let's say, have physical limitations, they're ill in some way, they want to accomplish something, they are focusing, you know, they want to win today, but they also have some limitations, and it could be physical, mental, let's say physical for the moment. Is there a way they can work around that if they really want to do something, but it requires a little bit more physical exertion than they are able to do? I guess I'm trying to give some hope to people who may not be totally healthy, but can still benefit from the book.
I just think there's always a way. I mean, another quote that I live by is things turn out best for those that make the best out of the way things turn out. And that's John Wooden. So I'll repeat it. Things turn out best for those that make the best out of the way things turn out. There's always a way. You can find a way. I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll use it from my own life. I've been a runner my whole life. Over the last 10 years, every time I went running, if I ran more than one day a week, so if I ran 2-3 days a week, I would get injured. And it was like, I couldn't figure out why. And I knew though that I wanted to get back into distance and I wanted to run at least a half marathon, if not a marathon again. But I couldn't, like the training, it wouldn't allow it because I would always get injured. And a friend of mine ran the London Marathon. And I was like, man, if he can run a marathon, I can run a marathon again. So I asked him, you know, what he did. And he said, I hired a coach. I said, oh, okay, cool. So I hired the coach. Coach gave me some workouts, different things. I got injured again. So then the coach said, listen, you need to go and do some physical therapy because obviously there's some deficiencies in your gait and stuff like that. So I did 6 weeks of physical therapy. The physical therapist gave me a ton of exercises to do, a ton of areas to strengthen, changed my stride. I went from running continuously to run walk. And then all of a sudden I was able to run a half marathon again. So I had these physical limitations, but I was able to overcome them by knowledge, strategy, and action.
And I think discipline too, because you have to stay with the program and go to the physical therapy. I notice that I'm a couch potato, and I notice if I do it one day or 7 days a week, there's no injuries. You know, so that seems
that's a good plan, Ira. Reminding me of the movie Dodgeball, where they asked, you know, they asked the character, they said, you know, you don't have any goals. He said, if I set goals, I might not hit them. And this way I'm just never disappointed if I don't set a goal. It's the same kind of thing.
That's fair enough. Yes. No, but I really like the concept of dealing with that. And I'm not a couch potato actually in reality, but I know exactly what you're saying. You can't figure out why you're trying to expand your physical horizons by running more than once a day. And if you're coming up against injuries, can't figure it out. And by process, not of elimination, but really of talking to your friend and then talking to a coach, and then going to a physical therapist, you solve the problem. But it's a lot of steps, but you had the determination to do that.
And also, too, I didn't buy into the negativity, because I really could have written a story in my brain of there's no chance. There's no hope here. All I do every time that I get it's been 10 years of it. You know, I mean, I took over the mental skills program for the Chicago Cubs. They hadn't won the World Series in 106 years when I took over. By the time we won it, it was 108 years. If we in that clubhouse had said over and over and over again, we are the lovable losers, which we were named, right? That was our moniker. And if we had bought into that over and over and over again, that negativity would have overwhelmed us and we would have never done the unthinkable, right? And so that's one of the big things. Again, define your story. But then the other part of it is stopping that storm, getting away from that negativity and making sure you're drawing yourself back into a minimum of neutrality and then possibly optimism.
Isn't that the hardest part about stopping the storm? Because it's, I don't want to say it's human nature, but you get into the habit of you're thinking one way. You stay with that habit because it's, you're familiar with it. It's, in a way, it's comfortable, even though it's a losing situation. And you have to break out of that. So is there one, do you have any recommendations for how somebody can break through that mentality and keep going?
You know, Ira, it is human nature. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's called the negativity bias. There's a psychology term, and it's basically, thousands of years of DNA in our brains that try to keep us alive. You know, so the whole thing is that's what the brain is up to do. It's number one, keep us alive. And number two, keep us comfortable. So if we want to live a thriving...
That exactly the reason for the couch potato situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think the reality is that's the battle we have is, you know, to get to thriving is to beat that off. I had a in my office, and I outlined this in the book, I talk about, you know, in my office in Mesa, Arizona, where we had spring training, I had a large tapestry of the Hindu god Ganesh. And Ganesh's special power was the removal of obstacles. It was the god of removing obstacles. The biggest obstacle oftentimes is ourselves.
Oh, so how do we remove? Yes,
you know, so that's the whole key. So that's the whole key. And I think it does. It starts with that first thing of, you know, defining your story. Then it moves into that place of getting to be present, right? Once we set that story, it's getting into the present moment. And a lot of times the easiest way, Ira, to get into the present moment is gratitude. And so I find that oftentimes if I'm negative, if I'm having anxiety, if I'm future focused or past focused, regret or fear, right? Both of those are typical future and past focused.
Yeah,
I'll do something. I'll just look outside of my window. I'll go for a walk. I'll look out to nature. And honestly, for me, the easiest thing is to watch the wind blow through trees. If I see that wind moving through a leaf or trees, I could just step out of it for a second and just watch that occur. In the world of professional sports, we call it choosing a focal point to get out of your negativity. With baseball, it was the top of a foul pole. Sometimes in golf, it's like a tree or whatever. Or in tennis, it was like the towel, whatever it might be. Like, and just kind of using that focal point as an opportunity to reset your brain and get out of the negativity.
It brings you back to the present.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great technique. I like that. When you wrote the book, were you aiming at a particular demographic, or does it work for any age group?
You know, it's a little R-rated. it is this pro sports world and the restaurant world.
Right,
so
I would draw that
demographic
question.
Is probably 18 plus. Right.
I withdraw that that question, Your Honor. Let me rephrase the question. yes. Is it for 18 plus? Is it does it work for all demographics above the age of 18?
Absolutely. And I think that was the whole key for me is that, You know, when we won the World Series in 2016, 5 million people showed up to the parade at the next day. And it was the seventh largest gathering in human history. It was the largest gathering ever in the history of North America. And it was the largest non-religious gathering in the history of the world. So that showed me that sports was a vehicle to really teach and to show people, hey, this is what's possible. And I think that that's the whole key. And so those 5 million people, they now know if you put your mind to it, if you have great teammates, if you care, if you take care of each other, if you believe, great things can happen.
So what you're saying is Joshua is the new God.
No, not even close. Not even close. He did fight the Battle of Jericho. Then, so there's that, you know?
But I think that people, the reason I asked you the question the way I asked it was, there are people that are at a certain age range, and I don't know what that age range would be. It could be 50, well, it could be 40, it could be 60, 70, but they reach an age, I've talked to people like that, that assume they can't change, assume they can't improve, assume they can't reach goals because they're quote unquote too old, too set in their ways, whatever it happens to be. What's your message to them with the book? It's called Win Today.
Yeah, you just nailed it, Ira. That's an assumption, right? You know, there are things that we don't know that we don't even know, right? Like that, there's literally levels of knowledge that we have not even come close to understanding. One of the steps to winning today is to choose growth. And choosing growth is about pushing yourself to be a little bit better than you were yesterday. And that's it. And it's the aggregate of marginal gains. You know, it's little by little becomes a lot. And that's the whole key. That's the whole key. Did I win today? Well, did I set an intention? Yeah, I did. Did I build bonds? Did I connect with somebody else? Yeah, I did that too. Hey, did I get really present today? Have some gratitude in my life? Yes. Okay, cool. I'm 3 for 6 right now. That's a pretty good day. Hey, oh, you know what? Also, there was some negativity that entered my life and I stopped that and I changed that around and I got to neutral. Oh, a 4 for 6. I already got this W. Let's make it a blowout now, right? Then I choose growth. I get a little bit better for tomorrow. And then I hit mile zero at the end of the day and I just reset and I start again tomorrow. That's a huge win. That's a big time win, but regardless of your age.
Exactly. And I think though, and that may be a strata of your book in terms of marketing is to let people know who are in certain age ranges that you can have an impact on your life at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. It doesn't matter. I mean, look at some art, I'll give an example, just artists in general, performers who do very well in later stages of their life because they're always growing, they're always creative, they're doing things. It's hard when you're set in your way or ways to do that. So is there a way that you can convince people? I guess what I'm trying to paraphrase it and I can't. So I'll just say, is there a way to convince people that they can make these changes? Is it after reading your book, they could say, hey, you know what? This is a great book. Here's all these steps. I know what I could do to win today. And then they get distracted and get back into their old patterns. How do you make that?
Yeah, life is a journey, right? Yeah. Life is a journey. So the destination is the destination. But, you know, that's the whole key is it's about resetting every single day and just starting over again and starting over again and doing the steps and doing the steps. Again, it's just a process for accomplishment versus, you know, the goal. And I think, you know, you ask, can you convince? No, you can't. You can influence people's, but I have no control over about what you're thinking, Ira. You're going to think what you're going to think. And that's beautiful. That's called being a human being. It's the privilege of choice. That's what we have, right?
Absolutely right.
And so, you know, but if you want to be great and if you want to thrive and you want to have more resilience in your life, yeah, do these things over and over and over again, and you'll have that. But again, if they don't want that, all good. You know,
I get
love
it.
Average people. It makes it easier to be great.
I think if you had in your book a perforated card that simply said reset today and they could take it out and reset and see it every day, that might help.
Yeah. Well, we got a workbook coming out too.
Okay,
so just so you know, like that will be written by September and hopefully out pretty quickly after that. And at the end of every chapter, there's exercises to do. So you know, you can go in there and you know, hey, here's an exercise for defining your story. Here's an exercise of how to get really present. So those are in there as well.
I've asked this, I think, at the beginning, but I want to ask it in a refined way. And I have one last question for you. The question is, if people hearing and listening, it's the same thing. If people are listening to us or watching us.
And, no, it isn't the same thing. Hearing and listening is very different.
Very good actually. Point. Very good point. You're right. Is there something they can immediately do after listening, hearing, and watching this that can get them on the road before they even get to get them on that journey?
Yeah. Yeah. Number one, we talked about it already, but just choosing an intention every day. If you do it in the morning, phenomenal. I do it when I walk my dog. I have a very specific spot. It's on this little bridge that we cross. So we cross that bridge and I decide who I'm going to be today. Right. The second one is this. Ready?
Yeah.
Really simple. Outside of getting present, we talked about getting present and looking at the trees and having the focal point. Another way you can do that is you can exhale without sound. I know that sounds crazy, but if you want to just get present, you can inhale as loudly as you want. And then when you exhale, exhale with absolutely no sound. Like it's just like a whisper, very, very quiet. What ends up happening is you end up really focusing on that exhale. Because if you don't focus on the exhale, you're gonna breathe loudly.
Right.
So if you exhale with as little sound as possible, you'll slow your breath down and then you'll get a little bit more focused.
And you have to take a breath mint before you do that.
Yeah, you gotta do that. And you have to actually inhale as well.
Exactly. So oh yeah, it helps too. Yeah. So before I let you go, we have about a minute left. What would you like people to take away if you had to narrow it down? What would you like people to take away from reading the book, Win Today?
Yeah, that transformation doesn't take a really long time. I think that's people think that transformation takes years and years and years to accomplish. But what I'm telling you is transformation starts with just one win today. And so just go out there. Like you mentioned earlier, Ira, you know, a win streak starts with just one win. So just do that. Just win today. Win today. And don't worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. Just win today. And then we'll hit mile zero. We'll reset. And then we're going to go win that next day as well.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Joshua Lifrak. He is author of Win Today, 6 Steps to Mental Resilience, Peak Performance, and a Thriving Life. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the usual places, including bookshop.org. And for everything about Joshua, go to Joshua Lifrak. It's L-I-F-R-A-K, L-I-F-R-A-K, joshualifrak.com. And you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Joshua, thanks for being on the show.
My absolute pleasure. And, you know, now that we're done, I'm going to run downstairs, slice a bagel in half and throw some lakshmir on it because it just looks too good. It just looks too good.
And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.